Now we're going to open up the Bible to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Again, in this reading, we are faced with very familiar words. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verse 14. Turn to verse 20. It says this, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Let's pray for a moment. Gracious Father, we pray that today you would pour your Spirit upon us. Father, I pray first that my words may be more than just words, but they might be saturated with your Holy Spirit, so that what everybody else hears is not just my voice going on about this and that, but they might be aware of the living voice of God, of you, Father, speaking to them, encouraging them. Father, may this be true for each one of us today, that we might receive from you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, beginning a series looking at life. Today, the purposeful life, making sure that we have purpose in our lives and the discovery of purpose in our lives. Now, I thought it might be a good thing if I checked in a dictionary to make sure I was saying everything okay. And I thought, well, I'll have a look in the dictionary, an online dictionary, for the meaning of this word purpose that we're thinking about today. And in the dictionary, the first definition was the reason for which something exists or is done, made, used, etc. And no doubt if I'd asked, we could have had that from you. Purpose, the reason for which something exists. And the discovering your purpose is precisely this, the reason why you exist. Why are you here? Why were you created? Why do you look like you look? Why have you got the gifts and abilities that you have? What is your purpose? What is God's intention? And even if we're not sure about the existence of God, and we're not sure whether we believe in God, we still have that fundamental question, why am I here? What am I to do with my life that is profitable, that gives a sense of reason and purpose to me and to my existence? Another definition was an intended or desired result, aim, goal, looking forwards. What am I to achieve? What is the goal of my life? What is your purpose? I mean, we could probably have a really interesting discussion if I stopped right now and said, okay, what do you think your purpose is? Why are you here? And often, I think if we're honest, we're not sure. We kind of get up every day and we have breakfast. We get on with whatever's there. And we have lunch. And then we do whatever's there. And then we have tea and evening and we go to sleep. And then the next day we get up and we have breakfast and then we do whatever's there. And life just goes on. But without the clarity of this is why I'm here. This is why God has created me. This is my purpose. This is what I am to achieve in my life. If I am to be everything that God has created me to be. I find it fascinating that when the Bible speaks about purpose, it does so in a number of different ways. But when it speaks, when the Bible speaks about God's purpose, when it speaks about God's intention for somebody, for a nation, for a particular plan, what it actually means for God's purpose, for purpose, is making plain what is or should be obvious. And I quite like that. That sense of purpose. What is your purpose? What is that which is actually blindingly obvious? And you just need to connect with it and go, well, blow everything else I've been doing. This is who I am. This is my gift. This is my skill. This is who God has created me to be. It is just plain obvious. And I'm going to do it. And it may take some disentangling from whatever I'm doing at the moment. But I want to do that because, in fact, my heart is that I discover my purpose. I realize why I am here and I connect to that thing. And I do whatever it is. And it is a discovery of the purpose for your life. And it is a journey of discovery. Whereby Jesus says to us, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. As we read earlier on, Jesus said, I am the way. That is, I am the journey you need to take. If you are to discover your purpose, if you're to find fulfillment in who you are, not who perhaps your parents have said you are, or your teachers many years ago for some of you at school told you you were going to be or not going to be, who does God say you are? Who has God created you to be? And so Jesus says, come, follow me, and you will discover in the following who you are and what you're to do. And then Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way whereby you will discover your purpose. But right away, we do need to highlight some warnings and on this particular journey. There were some folk who Jesus went to and said to them, come, follow me. And one of them said, well, I will, but not just yet. I've got other things to do. I want to get married. I want to sort out this business deal on this field. I've got this funeral to attend to. There's all these other important things I have to do first. I have to get my degree. I have to sort out my family. I have to get my career sorted. I need to sort out this tax return. I need to qualify in this way. I want to sort out this relationship. I just want to do this. Not just yet. But Jesus says to those people, let the dead bury their own dead. You come and follow me. On the day, the week after resurrection, Jesus is with his disciples and he challenges Peter. Peter, who has, in some way, having discovered his purpose, is to follow Jesus and to begin to be everything that he's created to be. Remember how Peter, when challenged, are you with Jesus? No, you've made a mistake. Now, I'm sure I recognize your accent. You are with him, aren't you? No, it wasn't me. Three times we're told Peter denied Jesus. And then after the resurrection, Jesus says to him, Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, do you love me? You know I love you. Peter, do you really love me? I do. And you can sense Peter becoming a little bit uncomfortable with Jesus. And so he tries to distract Jesus or turn the focus away. And he points to John. What about him? What about him? What did Jesus say? Never you mind about him. Peter, come follow me. And you might be anything like that. Not just yet. I've got other things to do. Never mind the other things. The call of Jesus is immediately. Right now, stop and say, okay, from this moment, I will follow Jesus. Because in following Jesus, I will discover my purpose. I will discover everything that I was created to be and to do. So not just yet. Another response is life is already over. Is life over? No. But that's sometimes what I sense. People say, do you know what? I would, but you know, I'm too old for that. How old do you have to be, you know, before life is over? I've done my career. Maybe I've done my education. That's it. I've done my career. I've done my family. You know, I'm old. Life is already over. But what if you have another year? Another 2 years, another 5, another 10. What if? What are you going to do? In 5 years' time, will you say again to God, it's almost over. It's not worth bothering about. And we do that with other things sometimes. You know, I would start this hobby. I would get involved with this group. But you know, I'm not going to have time. And we need to be wary of that. Your life isn't over. You may have served in the church for years. And now you say, oh, done that. But Jesus says, come follow me. He might change what you're doing, but your life isn't over yet. There is yet more for you. I've already fulfilled my purpose. Very similar. I've already fulfilled my purpose. I've discovered why I'm here. I know what my gifts and my abilities are. And I've done it. You know, I'm sorted. I'm retired. That's it. I'm done. Maybe God has more for you. God has more for you. You know, a number of people, I have, you know, to my surprise, I thought it was just a joke years ago. And then I discovered there are a lot of people who retire and then they start spending their life savings on around the world cruises. And I just remember this couple I knew who decided to spend their life savings on Saga holidays. And I went with this couple, just so happened, to a Christian event. I can't remember the guy who was speaking, but he was passionate. Never mind, he got a stage and a church full of people and whatever. But he came down off the stage. And if you've ever been with me, this is a warning to any of you. If you ever go to me to a conference or an event, there's only one place to sit. Do you know where that is? On the front row. Do you know why? It's because the blessing of God is at the front. You don't believe me, do you? Why does Billy Graham call people forward? It's because the blessing's at the front, you see. That's why I stand at the front. That's where you need to come to the front. But so I sat at the front, and unfortunately, this couple had to sit with me and Sarah. And this speaker was really challenging. He came down off the platform, and he was saying, you know, he started by challenging young people, teenagers, about what they were going to learn. It's probably something like I'm talking about today, the purpose for life. And then he talked about young marrieds, and then middle age, then old age. And this couple I was with, they were a little bit older. And I remember him saying, what are you going to do with your life? Go on a Saga holiday? And it was just like, you've got it in one. That's what they were going to do. I thought, man, no. I've already fulfilled my purpose. I'm going on a Saga holiday. Now, you can go on a Saga holiday if you want. That's fine. But never think you've done it. I've fulfilled my purpose. I'm retired. You know, when you read the scriptures, how many times people who are old meet God? Remember the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth? They were old. Abraham and Sarah. Moses. Others who were old. But they still had an ear for what God was calling them to. It's too costly. I'll settle for less. It's too costly to follow Jesus. And we know the story, of course, of the young man who comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know the law, Jesus said. Obey the law. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Honor your father and mother. All these I've done. What more should I do? And Jesus said, take all that you have and sell it and give the money to the poor. Then come follow me. And that man went away sad because he was rich. And the voice of Jesus echoes down through the ages. You say it's too costly. I say, come follow me. It's the discovery of purpose. And the danger is that even before we start our journey, we get tripped up by all sorts of excuses and reasons why we can't do it. But Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, I am the way. But as we seek to make this journey of discovery, to discover what is our purpose, why am I here, why has God created me, just as I am, with the background I have and the education I've got and the family I've got and the friends and relationships I've got, why has God created me like this? As we enter into this journey of discovery, we need to be asking you, of God, what would he make us? If we haven't already discovered our purpose, what would he make us? He said to Simon and Andrew, James and John, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. What has God intended for your life? I love the scripture that we read. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake. But then, as if it doesn't quite make sense, it actually gives us the explanation. Just in case you don't get it, folks, I'm going to tell you, why on earth were they throwing a net in the lake? And then it says, for they were fishermen. Oh, yeah, of course. That's why they were doing it. Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What will God make you? Now, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, quoting this verse. Why does Jesus say to Simon and Andrew, James and John, I will make you fishers of men? It seems the obvious answer is he said that to them because they were fishermen. They were casting a net into the lake because they were fishermen. I will make you fishers of men. What would God say to you? What would God say to you? Not, I will make you fishers of men. What would God say to you? What would God make you? We sang just a few moments ago, you are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. If you were that clay before God, if you stood or sat before God and said, okay, I'm the clay, you're the potter, do whatever you want, mold me now. Whatever shape or misshape I've got into, mold me, shape me, what would he make you? And there is something about discovering our purpose, discovering our gift and ability, offering that to God and saying, God, this is not for me, it is for you. And if you are a fisherman, then maybe God is calling you to be the best fisherman you could possibly be. If you are an accountant, then maybe God is calling you to be the best accountant you can possibly be. If you are a scientist, maybe God is calling you to be the best scientist you can be. If you are an artist or a mathematician, if you are great at relationships and friendships, if you are very creative or methodical, whatever you are, whoever you are, God would say, follow Jesus and he will make you the best that you could possibly be. But you must take that step. The question, what has God intended for your life? And here I'm going to put up a picture of Martin Luther King. And I'm going to read some words from Martin Luther King. And John Darby actually pointed these words out to me, or he quoted a few of them to me years and years and years ago. And I came across them recently. It was just a few months before his death, before Martin Luther King's death. And I'll read them to you, then I'll put them up. And he was speaking to a group of school children in Philadelphia. And he said this, if it falls to your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper. He swept his job well. If you can't be a pine at the top of the hill, be a shrub in the valley, but be the best little shrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star, for it isn't by size that you win or fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I would make you the best that you could possibly be. Let's look at those words. If it falls to your lot to be a street sweeper, sweep streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweep streets like Beethoven composed music, sweep streets like Leontine Price sings before the Metropolitan Opera, sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Can you imagine doing that? Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper. It's difficult to say. Street sweeper. He swept his job well. If you can't be a pine at the top of the hill, be a shrub in the valley, but be the best little shrub on the side of the hill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be a sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or fail. But be the best that you can be of whatever you are. What has God intended for you and for your life and your journey of discovery and your discovery of your purpose? Why you're here? What has God intended for you? Be the best. And never sit back and say, well, I've done that. I have been successful. Because God would say, have you done what I set you up to do? What has God intended for your life? Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus said, I am the way. It is that discovery that many of us have in life, that it is only by following Jesus that we discover our purpose. It's only by following Jesus the way that we discover why we were created in the first place. It's only by following Jesus that we begin to have any sense of fulfillment, true fulfillment, deep fulfillment, restful fulfillment about who we are and why we are here. And today, I suppose the encouragement or the challenge is to make our intention clear. To make our intention clear. And this begins with Jesus. It may be that it is because we're aware of Jesus, and we're aware of the extraordinary life of Jesus, that we say, okay, I may not understand all of this, but Jesus, because you lived an extraordinary life, I will follow you. I will step out now and say, okay, whatever, I will follow you, because your life truly was extraordinary. When people heard Jesus teach, they said, we've never heard anything like this before. When they saw him with people and he performed extraordinary miracles, they said, we've never seen anything like this. And it may be that today we make our intention clear. I will follow Jesus. I don't fully understand, but because he lived an extraordinary life, because he was not ordinary, I want to follow him. I want to be extraordinary as well. I want to live like he did. And we make our intention clear, I will follow Jesus. It may be because of the compassionate deeds of Jesus. The fact that, in a sense, way before the rest of the world caught up, Jesus was the one who treated women with such respect and kindness, giving them a deep sense of who they were. It might be because of that that you say, I don't quite understand it all, but I will follow this Jesus because he lived a life of compassion. And when the sick and the ill and the crippled came to Jesus and begged him for mercy, everybody else would say, leave them alone, you know, wash them away, doesn't matter. He was the one who was moved with compassion to act. He was the one who, when he was presented with the sinners, he welcomed them and said, I don't condemn you, just come. And it may be that today we say, Jesus, I want to discover my purpose, and because I know you're compassionate and you'll be compassionate with me if I fail and if I mess up, I know you'll be compassionate with me, even though others may not be, I will come and follow you. Or it may be that because we're aware of the death of Jesus and the fact that Jesus gave up his life for me, he went somewhere where I can't go. I will die, but it was only Jesus who could die and be raised, who could break through the barrier of death, taking my sin and my shame to the cross and nailing it to the cross and saying, you don't have to live with sin and shame any longer. I've dealt with it on the cross. It may be that today we say, I will follow Jesus because here was one who gave up his life for me. And if there's nothing else I can do or understand, I will follow him because he gave up his life for me. Or it may be because here is one who was raised from the dead. And we say, yeah, I get the extraordinary life, but lots of people have lived wonderful lives. It may be that we say, he was compassionate, but that's not what gets me. It may be that we say, yes, he died a sacrificial death. But what really motivates me is that God raised this one man from the dead. And I need to discover more about him. So I'm going to follow him. I'm going to walk in his way because I want to discover my purpose and my destiny. And that's our challenge and our encouragement today for a purposeful life. And maybe that is what you will say. I have decided to follow Jesus. I will discover my purpose. We put away all excuses and we say, okay, whatever it takes, whatever steps I need to take to make sure I'm building my house, as it were, well, making sure the foundation's good and then everything else on top is good. Today, I give myself afresh to him. Let's pause. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you that there is such clarity in the words of Jesus. Come, follow me. And Father, for some of us, there is joy in hearing such a clear voice. Come, follow me. And we're delighted to say, yes, I will follow Jesus. I will discover my purpose, my destiny. This is why I'm here. But for some of us, Father, we confess that to hear such clear words makes us afraid because we know so much would have to change in our lives. The decisions we've already taken, the habits that are already established, we would have to change them if we are to follow. Father, we pray that you would give us strength. And Father, we pray for the blessing of others around us who would encourage us and say, come on, you can do it. You can make this step. You can move forward. You're wonderful as you are, but there is still much more wonder to come. You're beautiful. You're courageous. But there's so much more yet to come. Father, continue, we pray, to call us forwards into a purposeful life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.